You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Get fired up.
Oh, yeah.
Performance-enhancing audio.
This is the State of Combat Podcast with Brian Campbell.
Oh, yeah, the best song in the history of two-man podcasting. You know it's the SOC because we deep in that cochlei, BC in the house. My co-host, you know him well. He's back where he belongs in Detroit. He is a New York Times best-selling author. F the Athletic, it's Rafe Bartholomew.
Let me lick you up. Let me lick you up.
Rafa, we got another show for them this week. I never know if it's going to be good. There's not much to talk about.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.
But we're going to give the people what they want, what they need. How the hell are you as an unemployed white male in the year 2020?
I'm happy to be here in general, regardless of the circumstances. Life is a blessing, Brian, and boxing is back. It's all sunshine and rainbows, lollipops
yes.
and rainbows. Okay, so let's get it on.
Yes. Let me, in fact, pour something on top of you, right? Not sugar, not in the name of love.
Okay, Eric.
Let me
put some water on your balls. Deep breath now.
Okay, Eric.
Deep breath now.
Let me put some water in your balls.
Let me
put some water in your balls.
Let me
put some water in your balls.
That's how we started, okay? Early, right? That's how we do it every week to start off. Yeah, we got some boxes.
The morning water balls. Forget the morning bird call. You need the morning water
ball.
That's
what I'm talking about. We'll have a couple things to talk about today. There's a fat heavyweight who does drugs a lot. Sergio Martinez, as people calling him out. A lot of good stuff. But we're here really to just mix it up. We're two guys at the end of the bar who love this hopeless sport, Rafe, okay? And people tune in to hear us. I do have to start the show with a bit of a mea culpa, maybe. Tell me if I'm getting soft in my old age. There are those who listen to this pod, Roth, who believe that maybe we've been a little bit too harsh. We, on all things bubbles. Not the chimpanzee, bubble, the top rank bubble, the qualities of fights, the presentations. Some man named Dan K from the Middle East emailed me. No, just kidding. Is that true, Rafe? Then today, what you want to celebrate top rank today at least?
I guess. I don't know. We haven't been that hard on them. We've been pretty honest. Sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. Nobody, this is not a surprise. I think they're doing the right thing by moving on with the sport in the best way they can. Do your business, guys. Stop complaining. Believe me, I'm not watching the fights, so I ain't wasting my time.
I ain't got that top rank ish.
So obviously he's gonna do whatever he wants.
Yeah, right. All right, enough.
Look, as any normal fan, like any normal fan out there in the world, for these 4-hour broadcasts, look, again, ESPN, Top Rank, you are doing God's work for ESPN. Not only are you eating up 3 or 4 hours of prime time twice a week when there's no other sports going on, you're also delivering better ratings than all the other rerun, retread crap that ESPN is trying to, they're trying to generate. Look, every kind of nostalgia, they're running out. And so Top Rank, you are maintaining a great relationship with ESPN. You're doing a huge solid to this network, and you're doing it under extremely hard circumstances. Congratulations. That is your job.
Yes, indeed.
I will watch. If somebody tells me there was a great fight on last night, I will go. I have the ESPN app. I have ESPN Plus even. So you know what? I'm a customer, and I am going to go back and watch that good fight. If it wasn't a good fight, I ain't going to watch it.
I can't tell if you just sent Evan Korn to hell or you propositioned him. Are we effing or fighting here? I'm not sure, but thank you, Top Rank, to celebrate Top Rank Day on today's podcast. We've got a great guest. I've got a great guest. Rafe, don't do guests. His name? Well, I'll tell you what he's known for. He's known for being a sexy Mexi, and he is the only man to defeat unbeaten, unified 140-pound champion Jose Ramirez. You know why? Because I saw it with
that
my own eyes.
Right. Watch the tape, Brian. It was a close fight. He won the early rounds, but you got to give JCR credit. That guy is a winner. He digs deep. He came on strong in that fight and really looked good down. I've scored that fight in the dark in my sensory deprivation chamber, except for my eyeballs, which I needed to see the fight. And let me tell you, man, Ramirez squeaked it out. I'm sorry. He squeezed one out, if you know what I mean.
It did exist, okay? I was there. It did exist. You were sitting next to me. I don't know how you missed that, but that's fine. We will talk to Jose Zepeda, the 140-pound contender. Yes, we knew he was supposed to fight Ivan Baranchuk on Tuesday next week in what would have been one of the better fights of this weird summer series, Rafe. That ain't happening. Baranchuk out. We do have a new opponent. We're going to get that confirmed from Jose later today on the show and later today when the interview actually happens. Exactly if the rumors are true, who he's fighting. Look, I hear from Top Rank it's a live body, all right? That's all I got to say, Rafe, okay?
We checked him out. He's got a nice-looking record. He only won loss. He's got good hair. We checked out the hair. He wears it. His name is Kendo Castaneda.
Yeah, well, sauces tell you it might be.
Hey, I'm running with it. I believe every sauce I read. I mean, that's what keeps the business going, right? Yeah, he's this guy Castaneda. How would you describe his hair? It's pretty nice.
It's pretty nice. Yeah. Pretty nice. It's
come on, give me a little more.
It's a little fluffy. Actually, I don't know if I've ever seen the guy before, Rafe. Maybe I should look him up.
I thought you were looking at the same.
No, I got it right here. Yeah, he's got nice hair.
You see what I see, champ.
See, when I hear Kendo Castaneda, I think Asian. Am I profiling? What am I thinking? Kendo stick in pro
wrestling?
Well,
so Kendo sounds like it's a Japanese first name.
Yeah,
Castaneda like is either Spanish. There's also lots of Filipinos named Castaneda because there are a lot of Spanish surnames in
Pinoy. Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, I have not looked up Kendo's nationality. Have you?
Well, he's from San Antonio. He looks like a top Mexican American bloke. So I'm going to go with it. He's got great hair. I actually am sporting kind of a quarantine fade like he is. A little bit long on top, tight on the sides, like tight like the junior prom on the sides.
What I saw was like a shaved on the sides curly mullet. I mean, I saw something way smoother than you're
describing.
I've
only got his Box Rec mugshot at the moment. But hey, if his name is a quasi Pinas one, you know what that says to me.
That really inspired me.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Okay, you'll never live that down. Oh, we will also review a rap album today. Wow, can't wait to get into that. Rafe, I did want to I want to shout out so many people. I want to shout out a lot of relatives, good friends. I love your daddy. I want to shout out, look, anyone in your family who's fighting the good fight.
We need you to do this, if not for yourself, then for your abuela. Do it for your granddaddy. Do it for your big mama. Do it for your pop-pop.
Okay, shout out to your pop-pop. Shout out to the typical people, the Irish crew, the Alex Godinez crew. Still have not confirmed whether he perished due to COVID or he's still around in Sacramento. We'll get to the bottom of that soon. Shout out to Richard Dwyer.
You know, contact me.
Yeah.
Let's work it out.
We have. We already did. Shout out to many regions of the country, Rafe.
Shout out to Omaha, Nebraska.
Hey, shout out to our good buddy Johnny Sig over here. Who did you catch it? He shouted us out in that PSA of the day the other day on Instagram. Did you catch that, Rafe?
I'm not on Instagram like that, man. Okay. I just post. And look, I hate to say it, but when Instagram is bad, man.
No, you're bad, okay?
No, it's bad. Because it's like, which ones are you going to stop on? You're going to stop on Johnny Sig's you know, shouting us out, or you're going to stop on something else. You know what I mean?
Something thirsty? Is there where you're going?
There's so much on there, man. Yeah, I don't even look for it. It shows up. It the does. App it knows me.
You know what the thing is? You go, all you do is hit that
it's
search
in my
button.
Head. And I don't like nothing. I don't save nothing. But if you stop the scroll because something catches your eye, it remembers.
Okay. You know, at the bottom of the IG screen, there's that circle for search, right?
Yeah, don't ever press that in public,
you
man.
Don't ever press that around distinct members of your family. All it does is bring up hot chicks, but like to your point, it's not ones you've talked out loud about or thought about or written about. It's one like they just know you. That thing knows you.
Not good.
There's gingers suddenly popping up, and not your type. You know what I'm saying? But
that stuff I need to I need to be able to decide when I look at that stuff.
You gotta beware of hookers. I mean, Alex Osito found that out.
Guys who can't fight out of a crouch are at a disadvantage against hookers like this.
You know, you gotta be careful, okay? Wow, all right. I don't know where we were going with that. Oh, we were shouting out. So, Johnny Sig, he's living a good life, hitting golf balls yesterday. Shout out to that bloke. Hey, shout out to another member of that network, Kurt Emhoff. We do love his podcast, The Business Life with Kurt Emhoff. Is that what it's called?
No, it's called the Boxing Esquire podcast.
I listened to the Lou DiBella episode yesterday. Freaking loved it. Hey, Kurt Emhoff, I love what you do for me. Thank you, sir. Okay? Thank you.
One of the very best. A true class act.
You know, we need to interview him one of these days.
And with that, let's close this interview.
Okay. That was a short conversation.
You know he was at the famous Jermaine Taylor
Yes.
Sam Soliman weigh-in yes. with the crazy eyes. And now yes. I brought this up when I was on his podcast, but I feel like if he's in our domain, we can get really effing get inside on that story.
Wow. Okay. All right. Wow.
And you know, I got horny, okay?
Yeah.
Did you forget you were flight? Or did you just love your wife so much?
Man, both.
Both. Thank you.
Some Doritos.
Shout out to all gingers, including Rafe Bartholomew. We have any gingers in the box game?
Oh, I thought you said all genders, including Rafe Bartholomew. I'm like, okay,
well,
yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'm non-binary. I'm just a gender unto myself.
Okay.
I do like ginger.
We all do. Thank you. I don't know if we have many gingers in this game. Oh, Canelo. Sorry, Canelio. Shout out to Saul. We'll have more on him in the future. You got anybody else you like in this game?
Cowboy Ryan Carl.
No, people. You got any other shout outs?
I like him. He's a ginger.
The ADK crew, Carl Froc. Shout out to Eric Raskin. Great podcast with Dan Rayfield the other day. Okay. I listen. I know this game. I hear other podcasts. All right.
Shout out to the Padawan crew.
Okay. All right. Hey, Rafe, did you know? I wanted you to know that, it's not just boxing and skinheads right now. There are other sports that are either back or threatening to come back. Have you heard?
I've heard of some plans.
Okay. Well, I don't know how big you are in Detroit on the other ball game, the old ball game, right? Right?
Baseball?
Baseball. Yeah, baseball.
I suppose.
Are you a big Tigers fan out there? Are you rocking the Ice Cube D hat?
I've yet to go to Tiger Stadium because I moved out here last summer.
It got closed, right? Now it's
America. It's tough. I don't think this is going to be the year for me at Tiger Stadium. And I think the Tigers are supposed to be the worst team in baseball when baseball comes back. But you know what? It's they're in better shape than the Pistons and the Red Wings because neither of those teams are invited to the continuation of NBA or NHL hockey.
And shout out to the Detroit Shock.
Yes. Right? Is that the WNBA, right?
Yes. Women are
allowed. Shout out to Bill Lambeer.
Women are allowed on this podcast too, Rafe, okay? All right. Always. We have rules when we interview them, but women are allowed on this on this podcast. Thank you. All right. Where was I going with that? I think you already know. Okay.
I normally don't do interview with women unless I fornicate with them.
Rafe, what I was trying to say was that baseball is coming back. So here's the deal. If you like things in your deep in your ear hole. How about the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast by CBS Sports, okay? It's unlike any other, and with baseball set to return July 23rd, guess what, Rafe? It is time to draft. Or maybe it's time to redraft. If you and your friends have already drafted back in March, Rafe, for Fantasy Baseball. Either way, over the next 2 weeks, Scott White, Chris Towers, Frank Stamfel. They're getting together. They're going to preview every position, let you know who to draft, who to avoid, sleepers, bus. Whoa, what is this, some kind of bus? Well, it's very impressive. And much more. We're also taking your questions questions for the Friday mailbag. Don't tease that bag, okay? What happens? What happens, Rafe? Rafe, you there?
You get the mess.
Thank you. Oh, they're going to answer anything you want about the shortened season, all that. It's called the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Find it wherever you find fine audio. And also, please, visit CBSSports.com/baseball to start your league today, 2020 Fantasy Baseball. It's customizable. They got things there, okay? Thank you. Rafe, when was the last time you played fantasy baseball?
Oh, man, been a long time. I would say elementary school. It came in the mail.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. All right.
I was just checking the mail.
Was that a horny mailman? Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Brian. I was a little slow on the uptake there because when you go into the reads, the thing I spend the most time looking at on Instagram are my man Nico the Rooster Macias'
yes.
Instagram stories. Him and this bond he has with a baby skunk he found out there in Tehachapi. The guy, he's on another level.
He's interesting, okay? He's interesting.
The question now is, how many beers will Nico and his brothers and his father and maybe his sister have tonight in celebration?
I don't think Nico does anything half-assed.
Why does Grish throw the sister, your sister, in? Why does he do that? Why?
Why? Just to be inclusive, you know?
If I was Nico's sister, here's what I would say to Todd.
Leave me the hell alone tonight. Please leave her alone.
Thank you.
Please leave her alone.
I am so feel right now.
I'm very feel.
You're very feel.
I'm very feel.
Yes, thank you, Eddie. We got more to come from you. Hey, here's what we're. By the way, that wasn't a read. How you summed up when you're reading your advertising script, Rafe? That was a recommendation off the top of the dome because I support my company so much.
Oh,
okay?
My bad. I'm
It'd be
sorry.
Nice. It would have been nice one time if you said, "Hey, folks, why don't you listen to the Cop and Pug Show?"
I wasn't. Why?
I see what you're doing at the hot dog stand, Rafe. Okay.
No. Back away from the buffet table.
Thank you. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Hood Rat stuff with our friends, for sure. We're also going to take a quick pause for the cause. On the other side, though, we got Alex Saucedo on this pod. We got a lot more ridiculousness coming your way. It's Top Rank Day. We will puff that bubble in a few. We'll be back in 2 and 2.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stamfel, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
And we're back. BC, Rafe Boogs, Alex Saucedo to come. What a heck of a show we got for you.
An absolute humdinger.
Rafe Boogs, there's a bunch of news. And let's start with Tuesday night fights from the bubble. It is Top Rank Day. Woohoo! And they had a fighter on there who has balls. He fights like a tough, tough gang member, even if ESPN's broadcast is trying to tell us that he's a reformed boxer. He ain't. Alex Saucedo comes to fight. He may get tangled with a hooker now and then, but he comes to fight. The only loss against Mo Hooker, he went in there, hey, for a quarantine summer season fight. Sonny Fredrickson on paper wasn't that bad. And you know what? Even though it was a wide 10-round unanimous decision win for Saucedo, who I thought looked great, Fredrickson was tough. He got rocked multiple times, never folded, never asked out of the fight. Are you as impressed? And remember, it is Top Rank Day, okay? All right? There's a little man in Las Vegas who will be very angry with you if you
are you calling him little?
He's
not little.
Saucito, what do you
I do like the Uncle Roger. He's not little. He's not small. I saw Broner.
You got to be careful, Ray.
I saw Corn. He's not little.
You got to be careful against those size guys.
Player, this small guy is coming for your title.
Thank you. Thank you. Rafe Saucedo, decision win. Fredrickson, your thoughts?
He looked pretty good. I didn't know how. People said this was one of the better or better on paper matchups. Didn't look like it was going to be a whitewash or whatever. So he looked good. He didn't have no trouble with him at all.
When you said whitewash, were you referring to the staff at the Ringer?
I don't even know what you're referring to, Brian. Okay, I don't follow that kind of news.
Okay, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Anyway, no, I thought he did look. He looked sharp. He did not look like a reformed boxer puncher, but I don't think that's ever going to happen for Alex Saucedo, and it's probably not his best path to victory, even in big fights. He's going to have to outfight people. He has enough athleticism and boxing ability to not just walk face first into punches, and he seems to be conscious of those things, but he's still going to get hit a bit because he's an aggressive guy and he's fun to watch. It was pretty good TV. It didn't turn into a back and forth of amazing war, but not every fight turns out that way. That one, you know, I watched it this morning. I wasn't disappointed.
Yeah, I like the explosion. I like, especially in the first round, when he looked like he was almost going to get Fredrickson out of there in that first round with the good combo punching. They made some fairly decent points on the broadcast while going a little bit. I mean, look, they're going to hammer the nail. I'm not talking about Grovestick. They will hammer the nail on that show on ESPN Boxing on Top Rank. I know it's Top Rank Day. Those guys will take a point, and they will beat that horse until it gets euthanized, Rafe. But although he's not a reformed brawler, they brought up Julio Cesar Chavez Sr., and I'm not trying to compare the two fighters. I'm saying that guy was an all-balls, in-your-face, aggressive guy, but showed defense, you know, wasn't absurdly reckless, even though it was full ahead pressure at all times. And I thought for this level of competition, Saucedo was perfect in that. Constant pressure, didn't get hit back a ton, or when he did, it was, you know, it was counter defensive jabs, and he would come in with 2-3 shots. So, good looking guy. The question is this for me, for you. Since it's Top Rank Day, let's celebrate. They've got, you know, a wonderful group of not only 140 pound fighters, but guys that we think will probably move to 47 for the potential of entering the greater Terrence Crawford sweepstakes, which involves not only fighting Bud, but fighting the other guys that move up to do the same, right? Guys like...
Oh, I thought you meant moving to 147 pounds and then being part of every terrible internet fight about PBC and Top Rank, which should be every boxer's goal.
Yes. Yes, interesting there. You know, we're talking Josh Taylor's, Mo Hooker's, Progre, even though he's not a Top Rank guy. You know where I'm going with that, okay? Zepeda, et cetera. Do you think Saucedo can be any...
The guy we left out was, of course, Juan Carlos Ramirez. Hello, two belts.
My man has two belts, yes. do you think Saucedo can be anything more than a tough-ass B-side out to these more elite guys that we just mentioned?
No. I don't. but that's not a problem. I think he will earn his shots at them and likely fall short in very fun, entertaining fights while they last. I think I know he says that he was weight drained or he didn't have a good camp for Mo Hooker, and he said that was Mo Hooker fighting a dead man. And look, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. I hope he gets back into that position to fight against a world title opponent, one of the top five in that group, because he's not that far behind them. I think he's right there in the top 10. So I hope one of those fights gets made. Something that can happen before then, which maybe you could ask someone about later today, Brian, is if our guy Chon Cepeda beats...
Did you call him Sean?
Chon, C-H-O-N. Oh, okay. Jose Cepeda. if he beats Castaneda next week, maybe, just maybe, we'll have two nice-looking 140-pound contenders under the Top Rank banner who just came off winning fights. Maybe they fight, have a great fight. The winner goes on and gets a nice little title shot.
Ooh, I like that. And maybe you're... Hey, shout out to Top Rank. Maybe this was their plan by putting these guys on, what, a week, you know, apart or whatever.
Exactly a week apart.
So, hey, shout out to that. I'd be down for that fight completely. I did like your use of the words Dead and Hooker in the same sentence. Normally in boxing, that's a different subject there. But, yeah, good win for Saucedo. Not a bad night for the broadcast. I know somebody's trainer, Josue's trainer and dad, they didn't let him in the bubble. What was that about? Did you hear about that? I didn't really read too much deep into it.
Well, he left the bubble or something, right? He broke a rule and he had to go.
Was he going to Osuna's?
They had to get the Sandman and get him off the stage.
Was he going to Osuna's daughter's graduation? Can he come back in with Bernardo? I mean, come on, you know.
They have protocols in place for Bernardo's escape and return.
Yes, yes. Do you know what ESPN's missing right now in such a big way? And it's Teddy. It's Teddy. Yes, I'm feeling it.
You're feeling it.
I would love, because Teddy, here was Teddy's greatest skill as a broadcaster, Rafe. Tell me if I'm wrong. The ability to take a crap-ass night of fights, tell you that this is a crap-ass night of fights, and still make it must-see TV because it's freaking Teddy, right? I really don't have a prize. It's Top Rank Day. I really do like the combination of Joe, Timmy, as they call him, and Andre, and Krieg's jumping in now and then. Yes, some of those guys individually can do too much sometimes at one time. But overall, when they're not beating Secretariat until he's a piece of meat in an elite Japanese steakhouse, they can do some things. But Teddy could save the summer series, true or false?
I like that idea. I understand the tension here, or the sort of weird incongruity between having this A-class, polished, pushing narratives, like high, well-oiled machine of a media broadcast entity that ESPN is giving to boxing with that team, Joe Tess and Andre Ward and Tim Bradley Jr. and Kriegel and Bernardo in person conducting socially distanced interviews. It's almost too polished for the product. You kind of want... You crave that dirty Friday night fights energy where it's Teddy and Grish fighting over something.
Yes.
Teddy giving people a hard time. Teddy telling people they're wrong. Teddy going on
you
a rant. Teddy singing.
Kangaroos? I'm just wondering. I'm just curious.
You get a few like life lessons from Teddy. It's all over the place, and that does that used to help carry some of the slower Friday night fights broadcasts. And maybe, hey, I look, what they're doing is fine. I don't have any problems with it. I don't really – broadcasting is broadcasting. Who cares, really?
Yeah.
But I wouldn't mind them trying – bringing in some weird combinations. Just have fun with it, right? Do some gimmicky stuff even.
Maybe,
I know
maybe
that,
have somebody who puts the broad in broadcasting.
I don't know. What does that term even mean?
I don't know. I'll let the record show. I have no idea what that means.
You mean like cast a wider net. I agree. They should cast a nice wide net. Bring in like a throwback Teddy and Joe Test night.
Just, oh, that'd be nice. Bob Papa and Max Kellerman, maybe?
Exactly. Yeah, Bob, that would be awesome. They should do that. Bring in Brian Kenny for a night.
Yes.
Brian Kenny can work for anyone, right?
He's
work
the chameleon.
For his own
yes.
box,
yes.
Like, whatever. I would do some – throw in some theme nights, guys. ESPN, I know you come to me for your content ideas, and I know Brian used to run that place. So –
Yeah, they could reunite that great team of Joe Tess, Teddy, and Brian Campbell.
Bring back Brian and I'm sorry, I forgot his name. Our dude from Making the Rounds,
Jim Basquiat.
Yes, Jim Basquiat. Bring back Brian and Jim on the sidelines doing web hits.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be
Would okay? Seriously, Brian, what would your and I know I'm putting you on the spot. What would your favorite broadcast theme night be for one of these Tuesday, Thursday night jobs? It doesn't have to be ESPN. You use the entire
Caribbean,
world of boxing.
Caribbean night?
I put the lime in the coconut. I mix it all up. I put the lime in the coconut. I drink it all down.
Well, WWE, I know we don't talk about them once. They've in the past have had like a Raw throwback night where they had the guys dressed in the 80s jackets and sit at the 80s table and use the old equipment and the old team and the old graphics on the screen. That'd be a gimmicky thing I could get behind. I would just like a place for Teddy on here. Even if he's sitting in his living room and they just throw to him every three rounds. Why can't Teddy hear me out here. Why can't Teddy
Can they put Teddy in that Booger McFarlane thing?
Well, that's a good idea right there. But why
the Teddy, can't the Teddy Mobile?
Why can't Teddy become Harold Letterman for ESPN? Are you kidding? I know he's insanely overqualified.
He would speak the entire round.
Well, here's the deal. Okay, number one, you're right. And I know he's insanely overqualified for that position, but he's entering he's already in the I'm old and I'm a caricature of myself mold role, right? Wow, I said it, Teddy.
Wow. It is hot.
Yes.
Wow. It is good.
It is great, okay? That would be, wouldn't that be a perfect way to include him? But you're right. He'd get into fights with Krieg. Yeah, all right. Maybe you can't do that. Maybe we can't have all the nice things that we want. All right.
What about it. HBO Takeover night? Just one night only. Ooh. Invite Lamps back. You already got Max in the house. Let Larry come back. Do HBO Takeover night.
What? If you're DAZN right now, and, you know, there's rumors of your demise, right? Would you, when they become available, just hire the entire HBO ex-broadcasting team, kick off everyone? No, I wouldn't want that to happen. I love me some Todd Grisham, but and just try to become like fake HBO?
Well, that's what they did behind the scenes. I mean, that's like,
yeah, you're right.
Wisely, right? I mean, that was a lot of very qualified, good people who were coming off of jobs working in boxing at HBO. I mean, that's exactly who you would want to hire. But yeah, they aside from the talent, they really, the people on screen, DAZN really did hire a lot of HBO's old boxing production team, and it's been pretty. I think that was very smart of them. If Lampley wants to get back into boxing whenever he's contractually allowed to do, stuff outside of HBO again, everyone is going to throw money at him. He is still the guy. He's going to be the guy, right? He may not want to. He may be moving on.
All right, let's look. We have honest conversations on here, okay? And so I love Jim. We all love Jim. He's the greatest at his position. He's the greatest to ever do it, okay? With that said, a little washy last few years, right?
I'm not
little
saying washy. He's my favorite, all right? So, my issues with Jim Lampley. A lot of people he didn't give fair shakes to, in my opinion.
I see where your lips are going.
If my lip reading is correct, he called him a bitch.
No, he called you a bitch. But what I'm saying is, what if it was a thing where it's like, yeah, Jim's back, oh yeah, and then you start listening, you're like, oh boy, we're in that last chapter.
Are you predicting that Jim Lampley becomes the next Sugar Ray Leonard, where every new startup has to hire him for the first month
and get a lot
of headlines, and then they realize, oh my God, no, we have to stop this, get off the bus.
It's hard for me to say things bad about Sugar Ray Leonard because not only is he like my second favorite fighter ever, and in a lot of ways, along with the Rocky movies, the reason I became a boxing fan, but Rafe. He is the worst at his position of all time. And it's hard to say things bad about him because he's one of those rare people. I will say this. He's one of those rare people, the whole don't meet your heroes, they'll let you down and show you that they're human, that they're a-holes. He exceeds expectations in person. He is sweet, genuine. He'll touch your heart and your soul.
The exact opposite of dazzling Darren Barker then.
Well, I'm going to give Barks a pass because he did follow me on Twitter. We did have a couple interactions on there. I think it was just, who knows? Maybe his wife was upstairs about to give birth and he had to run down and get her water or something. You got to give the guy a chance, okay?
Maybe you just looked like some crazy drunk American and he was like, I don't want to deal with this, mate.
Yeah, I would have campioned the crap out of him. So it's probably a good move on his part.
No, I don't know. The way you can campion like almost no one else can. I think any fighter would want that experience.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Wow. Sounds like I had a weird cough there.
I don't know. It's very, very confused. This is danger.
Danger. No. Rafe, COVID numbers through the roof. You have any socio-political takes on that?
No, it's everything is bad right now. The horse is out the barn. We all lost our jobs. when the two collide, it's gonna be a challenge.
All right. Here we go. Moving on. Sergio Martinez comeback has been a continuing story. What I didn't mention last week when I brought up the idea of Cotto, and you said, "Hey, Mr. Nuts, Mr. Nets, it was a great moment on this podcast." How did I not?
That's Mr. Knee and Mr. Nuts.
Mr. Nets and Mr. Nuts.
No, that's you said Sergio Martinez comeback.
Yeah, and then when we were
he's not Mr. Nuts, he's right. Mr. Knee.
All right, I set that up wrong. But my point on talking about the Oscar comeback last week, yes, you're right, and bringing up, hey, he should fight Cotto. How the hell did I not think of Sergio Martinez in that moment? And all of our listeners jumped on in various forms of communication and sliding and came in with that, of course, Rafe. 47-year-old Oscar against, what, 44 or 5-year-old Sergio at middleweight?
How about Cotto Margarito 3?
No.
Come on.
No.
You don't want that?
Rafe, at least give me the satisfaction.
Look, Tony deserves a chance to finish that fight because the New York Commission screwed him. He was turning that fight, right, Brian?
Well, it broke Smoke's heart.
Your favorite terrible yes. What is your favorite terrible conspiracy theory? Tony Margarito was turning that fight around. Salido was coming on against Mikey Garcia.
The open scoring and Canelo Trout when one guy had him up 8-0. Yeah.
That was a conspiracy, though.
No, but seriously, satisfy me, please. Pleasure me, Rafe. Sergio, okay. Oscar. It's actually a good-ass fight in theory, right? Like, you really don't know what it would look like.
No, I don't. I don't know what any of – well, if that's the only criteria, then yes, it is. There's a lot of those involving Oscar. Any fight involving either of those is going to be a really good fight because I have no idea what either of them will look like. I'm down. If these guys want to do old guy fights, I love them. I wish them the best. It's a little bit dangerous, but – They're fighters. It's very hard to get that out of one system.
Yeah. All right. Don't block them from doing what they want to do. It's who they
are. Sergio. I don't either. Maybe Maravilla just kind of wants to get his name out there. He enjoys the attention. He enjoys the interviews. And I don't begrudge him that. That's cool. Or he is just desperate for any fight. I mean, he calls someone out every month, it seems. He's like, and always in like the most polite Instagram video where he's like, you know, he's speaking in Spanish. He's like, "My good friend, I believe we should engage in gentlemanly combat because I love to fight and so do you. I'll see you in the ring."
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the news item this week that Sergio, somebody else might have next, my friend, and it's the washed husk of Kermit Cintron, who's still doing 8-rounders on the Philly club circuit. Shout out to him. He wants that rematch. If you remember, and you do, Sergio won that fight twice.
That's a bad memory, Jim.
He won the fight twice, yet still settled with a draw. And first of all, it should have been a knockout. Second of all, he got screwed on the cards. Would you have any interest in that?
Well, yeah, I would have interest. I kind of would like to see Sergio get in that ass and finish the job. Oh man. But at the same time, I want Sergio to make some money if he comes back. I don't think he's going to make any money for a rematch with Kermit Cintron. I want him to get some Oscar money. I want him to get some photo
money, player.
Yeah. Right. Some good washed on washed crime money. You don't come back for 30 grand to fight Kermit Cintron in Pittsburgh. Sorry, nothing wrong with Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Hey, let's say Chicago. He's from Chicago.
Who, Kermit?
Yeah.
He's
from Florida now?
I don't know. He lives in Florida. I don't really. Yeah, I can only follow so many things at one time. All right. Rafe, also in the news cycle. Oh, and shout out to I think Kermit was on the Ask the Experts podcast with Kern Bhatia. I did not get a chance to listen to that where the call out was made. So I'm sure, Rafe, you do the tour of all the podcasts. I'm sure you heard that. But Rafe, let me move on here.
I don't listen to no gelled hair podcasts. I'll say that.
How dare you? Is that also a slight at Dan Canobio? He's got great hair. All right.
I watched that. Does he publish that as a podcast too?
Probably.
I watched that on Twitter.
Probably. probably. He can count punches. He can hit wiffle ball home runs in his dad's backyard. Nice, nice.
I just like to get the boxing minute thing back when he used to do that. Was my
that
favorite.
Was good. That was a good
brilliant
one.
Boxing content.
Speaking of good boxing content, Rafe, you grew up in New York in the peak of underground rap in the 90s. Like, you didn't like, you know, you know Mason Betha. You know him as a pickup ball player, not as a rapper. You're that deep. You're that old school. Adrian Broner is back. Not in the ring, Rafe, but on a CD, right? I don't know if I was taught never accept the CD. I did that once in Brooklyn before a Barclays fight, and then the guy followed me down the road and, you know, asking for money. I was like, dude, I didn't even want this. I was just trying to not be rude to you. It's an LP, six songs. It's called Still Adjusting to Fame, and his Nate Dogg on this is Cook LaFleur. Rafe, before I sample a bit of Adrian Broner's Still Adjusting to Fame, did you read the lengthy recap review posted by Dick Hercules on the Queensberry Rules?
I did not. I didn't read that yet.
Okay, it's a very entertaining and damning piece, but it's very entertaining about that. But here we go, Rafe. Broner's back, and here's a little sample of the opening track, Still Adjusting to Fame.
Got five rings on.
Yeah. Lemme. Rafe, so far, and I got two more, but so far, are you impressed? I mean, there's a little auto-tune in there. There's some hot beats.
Yo, I don't know. I hope it works out. Look, with some of the rappers out today that are popular, they don't rap any worse than that, right? I mean, I hate to be a rappity rap guy. I know that's like a classic old head thing to do, but you don't have to rhyme really anymore. You don't have to be able to rhyme well or have, you know, flows and sound and basically be clever. So that lowers the bar of entry. If he can generate enough hype and get some good production behind him, God bless. I hope he makes a lot of money and spends it wisely. That song, the only thing, like, his voice sound is he sounds a little too high pitched, a little too whiny to me.
Well, let me spoil ya, Rafe, with the next track called Spoil Ya.
Spoil ya, I spoil ya. I know we had a couple setbacks, but you stayed down, you're so loyal. Met you, now got moments. You're a clean girl, you're so loyal. Rest on limited trips to the UK.
I'll spoil ya. You think that was song was first
soft
off,
side? That was
I
nice.
Love the soft would, side. That was very much like L. I mean, LL could bring it early, but then LL could be like,
I need love.
You know, that was soft.
When I'm alone in my room, sometimes I stare in the wall, and in the back of my mind, I hear my conscience call.
Yeah. Sometimes I got love. My stick in my hand. I don't know what to do. Yeah. I was down for early LL, by the way. I had Bigger and Deaf
Radio.
I had Radio. Of course, I had Mama Said Knock You Out. Great stuff. I didn't see. I got off the LL.
Yeah, you're right. That was Broner's Around the Way Girl. That was his version of Around the Way Girl.
And I got off the LL train when it became only about the soft, sultry side, and it became more about let me like lick my lips and
You weren't into Hey Lover?
No,
come on, that's
I got off the train. I was done with that. Okay, so
he was. That was some sick, dirty macking, to use a term I'm too old to use. Like, that song was just about creeping on some man's girlfriend and telling her, getting in her ear, telling her all kinds of things. He doesn't even know. He was making up stories about how he's a bad boyfriend. Didn't know anything about the man. That was some low stuff. But, man, it still hits me. It still hits me, that song.
Well, one of the main...
This is more than a crush.
One of the main critiques, and look, I could have just come out here and crapped all over this, but I'm actually trying to give it a chance, right? I mean, Roy Jones Jr. does timeless rap. We've talked about that on the show before, okay? One of the critiques from Dick Hercules was that Adrian Broner's name is on this six-song LP, but he's barely on it. And Rafe, trying to find clips to play for you, you got to scroll through like the whole song to find that one time AB's on it. So is that smart? Is that a bit of a bait and switch to let Cook LaFleur have all the spotlight here?
Maybe he's going for like a DJ Khaled type thing where he's kind of just like the impresario who brings all this stuff together and hangs out, and he'll get on the track for and make some noises, do some ad libs, but it's really about the entertainment you get from an Adrian Broner production.
That's true. Well, that's a good segue, because the last song I have for you is called Problem, and we know that's his nickname. And here we go.
Told my AC and I got a ballin' problem. Bottle popping in the club like I got a drinking problem. Pockets getting fat, I got an eating problem. Up, I got a sleeping problem. Trust me, you got a problem. Test me, guess I failed, I got a cheating problem. Just OD on Louis Vuitton, I guess I got a sneaker problem. Fuck that bitch, forgot and ran into her, had a sneaker problem.
He's got a lot of he's got 99 of those problems if you listen to the whole song, Rafe.
Look, who could have thought of rhyming problem with problem so many times?
All right. So do you have a final review on what you've heard? Is this...
It just sounds like sort of generic 2020 rap music with, you know, some auto-tune, sort of trap beats. Who cares? It's not, good for him. It's not embarrassing. It's just unremarkable.
Okay. I'll accept that. All right, let's roll on here. Also in the news, I did want to ask you related to this, because we got time, because we have nothing to talk about here, Rafe. So let me ask you this. It has always been said, and people laugh at me when I say this, but they're wrong, that Shaquille O'Neal might be the best athlete rap crossover. Okay, his whole career wasn't great, but that not only did the appearance with the Fushnikins come off as legit, but that first CD is not
hold on,
bad.
Hold on. No appearance with Fushnikins. Fushnikins doesn't come off as legit place.
No. I was a big Fushnikins fan.
That's the audience they were going for.
Oh, how dare you?
Come on, those hats.
Are you trying to say that these guys aimed for generic white suburban guys like me?
That was the Fushnikins recipe.
I'm a white boy, and I'm jacked. Deal with it.
All right. Rafe, what I wanted to say with that was, Shaq's third, fourth, fifth album, it's lame at that point. But early on, he had it. And I think you can agree that Roy Jones does have a timeless quality to his style. Do you have any other? You big Dame Lillard fan? Lillard? Are you a big Kobe fan? Who had the unreleased album? Was that Iverson?
Iverson. I think Kobe had one. Chris Webber's album did come out, I think, but I never listened to it.
Oscar won a Grammy, bro. Oscar won a Latin Grammy, okay?
Pretty cool. I bet he cleaned up at the Latin Grammy Awards, too.
Wow. Yes. Okay. It was hot. Yes. You feel it. Yes. Okay. Yes.
It's thick.
Well, Oscar was a freak. Yeah. All right. I guess that conversation's over. Rafe, let's move on. Big Baby Miller.
Oh, yeah.
Whack. Next. He failed drugs for according to Dan Raphael, who's calling him Big Dummy on Twitter, for the sixth time, Rafe. And, so here's the deal. So boxing, they don't seem to punish you. There's no punishments, right? He didn't get punished really after falling out of the AJ fight. I kind of think he should get maybe not a lifetime ban, but he should get a legit, you cannot fight for 5 years. Or whatever. And I feel like he's going to get that kind of ban anyway for a while, because no one's going to want to mess with him and take that chance. But this is comical in a sport that we assume many guys are using. In fact,
I've looked at a lot of guys, Brian.
If we didn't, yeah.
A lot of those guys are on something.
You got to look at the whole man when you're having these type of conversations. And I will say this, if we did a Patreon version of this podcast where we did look at the whole man,
I've looked at a lot of guys.
I would tell you more often than not, right, after a couple of drinks, that I would think most of our heroes, they were, they have, they will, and they still are. And that's the bottom line. So does this just make Big Baby he's not only a cheater, most people are, he's just a really bad cheater, correct?
It appears that way. That is the conventional wisdom that I tend to agree with about doping, is that it's more beating the test is more about strategy and planning and being off the stuff you need to be off of when the test is coming in, you know, cycling on and off. Definitely this has been figured out in many sports, including boxing, and it's widely presumed that it occurs. And there was a big window for, Baby Miller and pretty much any fighter to do a lot of cycling on and off during the hiatus, and also because none of these fights are getting full 3 months of VADA testing before they step in the ring. It's really just whatever Nevada does. And I believe Nevada wisely required Big Baby Miller to get, you know, to get enhanced testing from them. And I think they use VADA for some period of time, even if it wasn't like a full 12-week period. And they caught him. It's bad that he did it. It's bad that he's done it so many times. I don't know. I'm not going to call him dummy or stupid, even if he and his team screwed this up. Also, it's weird to say, "Oh, you screwed up, huh? Because you didn't cheat right." It's just such a mess. And also, you know, I was listening to Teddy Atlas's podcast this week, and he broached this subject, and I think you could tell there was a little bit of score settling in this suggestion from
Teddy.
Promoters and managers also face some consequences when a fighter of theirs gets caught cheating, because it's like, well, you represent this person. Do you represent cheaters? Do you want people to go in there and essentially commit crimes in the ring? Because, you know, this is a combat sport. While I think the, you know, like sort of, oh, death penalty for the promoters, of course not. But it may be some kind of financial like consequence, something that to create a negative incentive for promoters to just sign up fighters who they think are juicing or have reason to believe that or are coming off of non-suspensions for huge violations like Big Baby Miller was. Maybe something, because you can't blame Top Rank for signing Baby Miller and trying to roll him out there again. He had a name. He, you know, has looked like a half decent contender in his limited experience, which appears to probably have been aided by some drugs. And all those are all marks against him, but he's still out there. And he still is a live name, a live body, someone they can make money off of. And there's no reason for them, they don't face any consequence for doing business with that kind of athlete. Then why? Then you really can't blame them for doing it. So I think that I don't know if there is any way who can impose a fine on a promoter. No one. I don't know. Yeah, give up. I give up, I think, is the
Here's
answer.
Here's what's interesting on that topic. It's Top Rank Day. We're going to do this softly.
It's not Top Rank's fault. It's not time. Everyone is involved. You. Everyone in boxing is involved with this.
I'm just reminding you that there's a receipt in this game, and you owe Top Rank right now. So, Rafe, Dan Rayfield on the Showtime podcast this week did sort of wonder out loud, because he mentioned that there were members of Top Rank's internal team who were very against signing Big Baby, but that Grandpa may have done it solely out as like a favor or a solid to one James Prince, manager to the Stars, right? The man behind Andre Ward, Shakur Stevenson.
And the ghetto.
Formerly behind Floyd. And then we all know you can only say that man's name out loud in the podcast too many times without being investigated for rightful reasons. He's an OG, Rafe, okay? I respect that man. I love me some James Prince, Jay Prince. What does that say about Grandpa? They're just doing business?
Yeah, he's just doing business. Okay. Why not? If there's no reason, look, someone was going to, this is why he did it. Someone was going to sign Big Baby Miller, right? If Grandpa didn't, then Golden Boy might have, then some other, he already had Salida Promotions, but, you know, I think he was shopping around for a bigger office. He could have worked with PBC, because they're not even a promoter. And someone would have put him back on the same exact schedule that Top Rank had him on. Nobody was going to like turn away and treat him like a pariah because he did what every half of the, other, at least a lot of other boxers are doing. So that's why he did it. And there was money to be made.
I think Miller is co-promoted by not only Top Rank, but by Salida and Greg Cohen. If you remember that guy, I think Greg Cohen's
in jail right
now.
Yeah,
yeah. Right? Austin Trout, not a big Greg Cohen fan. Wow. Shout out to the Bath staff, by the way. There, Austin Trout. Hashtag never forget. Rafe, let's throw quickly before the show gets too long to my friend and yours, the future of the 140-pound division. He's a Mexican American. He's a man. His name is Jose Zepeda. Okay. All right. You ready for this?
I am so ready. I was born ready.
Thank you. You are next, Jose. Coming at you. Enjoy.
Hello, Brian.
Jose Zepeda, who may not, who just might be the best 140-pounder in the world. Great chatting with you. How you doing, man?
Good, good. Thanks a lot, man. I'm doing good, feeling good. I'm just ready to get in there Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. We thought you were going to face, of course, Ivan Baranchik Tuesday night in the bubble that Top Rank's got going on in Las Vegas. I was broken up to see that fight fall apart. Tell me about getting that phone call and what you thought right away.
It was, I believe it was a Friday, and I was training. Then my brother was the one that told me. He told me about Ivan getting hurt. So we didn't know. At first we didn't know if it was serious or not. So I thought it was still going on. And then they were saying that it was going to get postponed 1 week. I was all right with that. But then the days passed by and I was there. They told us like, oh, he's not going, you know, his injury is serious. So I was like, oh, whatever it is, I just want to fight the seven. I mean, I'm ready. I was ready and I've been working for a long time.
Yeah, that fight would have been an absolute banger and would have been an important step for you. Luckily, the card will go on. You'll still headline Tuesday night's card on ESPN. But Kendo Castaneda is what everybody's reporting that is the replacement. Considering the situation, Jose, you could have done a lot worse. It's not like you got access to everybody with the quarantine. This is still a pretty good fight.
Yeah, and I'm happy for that. I'm really happy with Top Rank, who's giving me all these fights. And I'm really happy for that, really thankful with them. And yeah, thank God the fight didn't get canceled. I'm fighting this new guy. I don't really know much about him. But I believe it's going to be a good fight because of his record. So I'm pretty sure he's ready. That's why he's taking the fight. So I'm looking forward to it.
That's a tough decision to make when you have this opportunity, but you've got a couple days to prepare for a new guy. Is that a hard decision to make?
I don't think so. Cause I'm always going to be doing my thing inside the boxing ring, my boxing. And that's, you know, it doesn't matter if the opponent changes, I'm still going to be doing my thing. And that's, you know, part of boxing. You have to do your own, you have to do what you do best inside the ring and not get out of that line. So everything has kind of come out good. I mean, I'm ready. I'm in shape. So that's all I need.
Absolutely. Let's talk about a very important night in the career of Jose Zepeda. And this is a name, El Shon, your name. We talk about you a lot on this podcast for a reason. My co-host and I made the journey to Fresno, California. You remember the night, February 10th, 2019. I sat in the front row and I watched Jose Zepeda deliver the first loss in the career of Jose Ramirez. There were three judges that didn't see it the same way. My friend, hell of a performance that night. It's still real
Thank
to
you.
Me. I think you're the champ right now. How hard in a fight that close, a fight that great, how hard is it when it ends up being a majority decision the other way?
It was hard. I'm not going to lie. I did think I won the fight. And after the fight, when I was able to, you know, watch the retape, I was, you know, it was more, there was more evidence that I won the fight. At the end of the day, you know, this is not the first time something like that happens in boxing. I just try to tell myself next time, cause I know there's going to be a next time. Next time it happens, I'm going to make sure it's even a bigger margin of a fight. I'm going to try to win all the rounds and I'm not going to give them, I'm not going to give the judges the opportunity to you know, to make mistakes.
And look, this is nothing against Jose Ramirez, a great fighter, probably an even better person. But I just feel like you had better craft that night. You were landing the cleaner counter shots. You dealt with this pressure really well for the first two thirds of it. You know, if hindsight's 20/20, would you throw more punches? What would you do? I mean, do you think the judges were just rewarding his activity the whole night?
I think the crowd had a lot to do, because the judges, they can hear everything that's going on in the stadium, and every time Ramirez was throwing a punch, even though he was missing, the people will go crazy. there were some times where Ramirez would throw flurries and like three, four, five combination combo. He wouldn't hit not one, and people were going crazy. And even the commentators, they were saying, oh, he already has Jose. But, you know, they didn't see that. Not one of those punches landed. It was just me moving. I think next time it's obviously going to be, yeah, more punches, but my body language will be way better. And I'm just going to make sure the referees see what's going on inside the ring. And yeah, I believe it's going to be a whole different fight.
Absolutely. Tell me about how you put together your style. Because the first time I saw you on TV, I was like, ooh, he kind of resembles some of Sergio Martinez in terms of the counter punching and the slick movement. Where did you sort of put all that together?
To be honest, just with sparring, you learn a lot when you're sparring. Every time you spar, you learn. By sparring big names, you also learn a lot. Like I sparred Mayweather, I sparred Timothy Bradley, Chris Ageri, Jesse Vargas. I sparred a lot of champions, and you learn new stuff from them and from yourself too, inside the sparring. So I think I've all along it's been the sparring that sometimes it gets my style more and more effective.
Yeah, absolutely. I gotta ask, man, you got an opportunity to spar the great Floyd Mayweather. I know, you know, obviously it's a sparring session, but how'd you feel you did in that type of setting?
Great. No, it was really great. I think Floyd recognizes me now, and he saw me a couple of times there, and he said hi, you know, and yeah, he knows who I am. He thought it was a good sparring. One time he called me at 1 a.m, you know how he spars at 1 a.m. sometimes. So, and I was the one that went over there and sparred him. It was only me. So yeah, I think it was a great experience. It was a huge experience for me.
That's cool. What year was that? What fight was that for Floyd that he was preparing for?
Yeah, that was for the Manny Pacquiao fight. Yes. I believe 2015.
Gotcha. All right. Well, look, I got to give you a lot of credit because you took that close loss to Jose Ramirez, and they gave you another really big opportunity, and that was that showcase fight with Jose Pedraza, where we really didn't know which direction that fight was going to go. And I have so much respect for Pedraza, and to see you come out there and handle him, man, I feel like you announced to everybody that, you know, you're not just a tough out that could give a champ a tough night. You're potentially a future champion here. So tell me about that Pedraza fight and how you were able to get the upper hand.
I have always believed in my boxing, and I knew that I was faster and I was smarter than Pedraza, and because he's a boxing, you know, he's also a boxer, a good thinker. So I kind of knew that was I had the upper hand on him because I really thought I was faster and smarter than him. So that's how the fight went. We were thinking too much, but then at the end of the day, I was able always to either counter him or start the fight, and it was a great experience for me. I think I could have done better, but I know that Ramirez fight and then this fight with Pedraza, man, I'm a whole different fighter, and I believe you're gonna see it the 7th.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember in the post-fight interview after beating Pedraza, you had made mention that this was like the greatest day of your life for you know, beating such a big name and proving to everybody. When you make statements like that, you got to be thinking back to the long road that it took to get there. You know, how sweet was that victory?
It was sweet because, you know, I don't know if you know that my first title fight was against Terry Flanagan. It went really bad. I had a dislocated shoulder in the second round, and I was doing really good on my past fights. I was looking good, and my promoter, you know, we were talking big about all these upcoming fights, but then that happened. And since then, my career started going down a little bit because after that Terry Flanagan fight, I fought 3 months later, and then the fight got, it was a no contest because I got a headbutt.
Yeah.
So my career started going downwards, and finally, I just kept going, kept fighting in Mexico. until I got the opportunity with Ramirez. I'm actually thankful with Ramirez because he gave me the opportunity to make myself known. You know, that's how people started here in the United States, started to know me better. And then after the Pedraza fight, okay, now it's now people know I'm for reals. You know, it's just not one fight that I did good, but I'm for reals, and I'm happy for that. Now my career's starting to go up, and I do believe that the people still has a lot to see in me. I still have a lot to give to the sport, and I don't think you've seen the best of me yet.
That's awesome to hear. I mean, you're really putting the experience together and using it for you. Are you still with Freddie Roach as a trainer?
No, I'm with my brother. We fought the last fight with Pedraza. I was already with my brother only.
Gotcha.
The last fight with Freddie Roach was the Ramirez one.
How was the Roach experience a positive one for you? Because I think that was also a big part of people taking notice with you when you're with a big name coach like that.
Oh, definitely, man. I told Freddie it was an honor to be part of his team, to be a fighter of his. You know, he's the biggest trainer I think in the world of all time. So I told him, man, it was great meeting him. It was great getting to know him, being his student. And I did learn a lot from Freddie. But the only reason why I'm not with him anymore is because it is kind of far from where I live. So that's the only reason why I stopped going over there. But I thank Freddie a lot, and I did learn a lot from him.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the future here. And no disrespect, you got Kendo Castaneda in your future on Tuesday night, and that's going to be fun to see you get that opportunity. But if you keep winning, Top Rank's building something here. And what I mean is they got a lot of fun, interesting world-class 140-pound fighters. And then they also have Terrence Crawford at welterweight who doesn't really have access, let's say, to the big-name welterweights at the moment. So how do you sort of map your future in terms of what's important to you and that potential of ever moving up to 147 now that guys like Josh Taylor are saying they're looking to do that?
Well, to be honest, right now, I have four names on mind right now.
All right.
Four names. And those are the WBC, the WBO, the IBF, and the WBA.
That's a good focus. Stay in this division. Keep it up. Well, let's stay in this division then. Do you think Top Rank and Jose Ramirez, if you stay on this run that you're on, are looking to get you back a second time?
Yeah, I believe so. I think, like I said, I'm really grateful with Top Rank, thankful with Top Rank. And I believe if they are giving me all these fights, that means they are building something. There's, like you said, they have all these, they have the two champions at 140. And they have other fighters. They're very good fighters at 140. So hopefully after this fight, like you said, I'm not passed through Castaneda. You know, first we have to win this fight. But after that, I believe there's big fights and hopefully the titles, man. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Maurice Hooker's around. You got Regis Progre. You got the champions. We're supposed to see the champion, Jose Ramirez, put his two belts on the line against Victor Postol, and that fight got postponed a second time. What do you think about that fight in terms of who would get their hand raised?
Of who? What, I'm sorry?
Jose Ramirez against Victor Postol.
I think it's too much pressure from Ramirez. And Ramirez is strong, and he could take a punch. And Postol is not going to move too much. So it's going to be there for Ramirez. I believe Ramirez is going to just overwhelm him with so many punches and I believe, if not a knockout, it's going to be all Ramirez, I believe.
Hopefully we'll get to see that when the fights come back. How has this quarantine been like for you from the standpoint of staying in shape? And, you know, there's not as much money out there to come back without a crowd. There's a lot of craziness in life right now. Let's be honest. How have you navigated this whole stretch?
You know, I have no excuse. I've been training hard. I was for 3, maybe 4 weeks here at the house, just training with my brother, and on a heavy bag. I bought a heavy bag, and I hang it on the house. And no excuse. I've been working out as hard, you know, as other times. And then for the rest of the camp, I did have a gym here at Baldwin Park, and I was able to train in there. And, you know, I've been able to work great. And thank God, I haven't had a lot of complications.
Absolutely. Great to see you get this chance to be back. Tuesday night, ESPN in the bubble in MGM Grand Convention. It's you, Kendo Castaneda. Let's close with this. If people are listening and they don't know a lot about Jose Cepeda, what should we know about the man?
I'm a southpaw, and I am going to go for the title again. I believe I could be a world champion. And like I said, they haven't seen the best of Jose Cepeda. I think the seven is gonna help me show that a little more. But the big fights are coming for me: Ramirez and Josh Taylor.
That would be absolutely great to see. Great chatting with you, Chone. It's been a pleasure, man.
Thanks.
I love your fighting style and your demeanor in there. I think you're gonna be holding that belt soon enough. So best of luck on Tuesday night.
Thank you. Thanks a lot for the interview.
All right, special thanks to Top Rank Day to Jose Cepeda, Evan Korn helping us out there as your State of Combat content provider of the year going on 2 years now. Even if there wasn't a trophy last year, Rafe, we all know who got the score right on that one. Rafe, under the Flux Capacitor Back to the Future 2, this interview took place, as we are talking now, the interview already took place in the show, but not in real life. Does that make any sense?
I don't know if it makes sense, but I know what you mean in that I don't know what you two talked about. But in actuality, that could be true any week. I could have been there, and I still probably wouldn't know what you two talked about. Yes. I just would have been off in La La Land.
Yes. Thank you. Okay.
What is this? I'm looking at you, Brian.
Yes.
And you keep squeezing something.
Is that
performance enhancing?
I wish it was. My team at CBS Sports sent me some new equipment, and in that box of equipment, Rafe, was this, it looks like a turkey baster, but it blows air, and it's meant to blow air and get the dust specks in the garbage off of your keyboards and the cracks of your things, because I have a lot of tech issues. Probably no surprise, Rafe. But I just started using it as a self-fan. It blows
up. Are the tech issues related to you spilling crumbs all over your electronic equipment?
I wonder if they are.
That would be great.
Just
like pizza crust and all kinds of nasty gunk all over from your quesadilla eating.
How dare you? Wow. All right. Yes. Hey, Rafe, we got a couple more.
Remember on this is a bad tangent. You remember on the first Biggie album?
Yes.
When that song was Respect on Respect is like, you Oreo cookie eating. Like he's having sex with a woman.
Yes, I do remember that. Yes.
And she's calling him a grape soda drinking, Oreo cookie eating. And then the song begins.
Please.
Back in the day, they used to have inappropriate skits before every song, and it was great.
Did what's your name get at you yesterday?
These nuts.
Who dick you sucking? Right, remember that from DMX? Yeah, we'll edit that part out after, okay? Yep.
He's come out of my nutsack, so he's gonna be good, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Rafe,
and
let's go down.
Briggs was on the Fugees album saying racist stuff in a Chinese food store.
Oh, God, rah, like a Chinese dragon. Rafe, here we go. Quick, let's play the roulette of news. I'm gonna get your take on whether you care. Lomachenko Teo. Fimo Lopez, the lightweight unification bout. Per Mark Kriegel, who talked to Bob Arum, who some guy named Ben Baby for ESPN wrote a story, we're going to see that fight September 19th, most likely in Vegas. And according to Exclamos, manager of Sergey Kovalev, we won't need a crowd, meaning that must mean the financials are set. This will not be dependent upon a crowd. Loma, and I think you can understand he is getting older, right? You want to do this now. You don't want to get to Triple G Canelo era, right? You want to do this now. They want to do this now. So it's going to happen, Rafe. And heads up, It's gonna be a challenge, Rave.
Yeah, number one, it's gonna be a challenge. But Vasily will bring his horse to the war. We know this. Yes. He always comes with the full stable of horses. And but for real, look, fingers crossed that this is legit, that it stays on track, that it happens on this schedule. I mean, if it doesn't, I still want to see it whenever it happens. But please, 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 please. I mean, it's a fantastic fight. However they can get it done, God bless them for doing it.
Rafe Gold, I agree with you. Golden Boy continues to send Ryan Garcia to purgatory here, which is just going to alienate that relationship. And the latest, did you see him yesterday? For some reason, ESPN's Ariel Helwani, the MMA guy who is smitten with Rye Guy on Twitter, if you follow him,
probably have some friendly agents.
Wow, that's a fair call.
Called your agent. I get on your show.
Had him on his live Instagram show or whatever. I don't know what it was, but it was weird. So here's the deal. Rye Guy had a mask on, Rafe, a COVID mask during the interview, even though he was in his house. He was in his house, Rafe. I'm wondering if he was covering up a coal sore that came from some underage. No, just kidding.
Maybe he had like, was it just a regular mask? I'm thinking maybe he had like a hickey or something, and he didn't want to be seen because somebody watching that interview would catch him with it. Yep. And then he would have a whole world of trouble on his hands. Like he still has these high school problems.
It goes down in the DMs.
Wow, that was a gross laugh I had there. That was like the old guy gross, like, show me your DM laugh.
Hey, Ryan, tell me about all the girls you slept with. Wow.
Can I smell it? No, stop it. Rafe, here's the deal. All he talked about on there, all Rye Guy talked about, outside of some awkward talk about Oscar, was MMA and how he wants to fight Henry Cejudo, and now he wants to do an MMA match with Dylan Danis. Stop, stop, stop. So because they are holding him out over money, Jorge Linares and everyone else is going to move on. Four different opponents rumored for Ryan Garcia over the past few months are all just announced fights. August 28th, Jorge Linares against Javier Fortuna. Rafe, sign me up. Sign me up, Rafe.
That's one of the better quarantine fights, period, we've seen. I mean, that's good stuff.
It's going to be at that casino in Indio that they do. No media, no fans, Rafe. Okay? So
I think that's probably appropriate.
What's our buddy?
Also not very different from many of the Fantasy Springs shows that I've attended. There's almost no media and almost no fans.
Touche. Eddie Hearn's garden party is official. Last week it was announced. Four cards. Beginning August 1st, ending August 22nd. So apparently Eddie doesn't live there anymore, Dan Rayfield told Showtime Podcast. That it's now just the matchroom offices, that giant mansion. But it's in the backyard, Rafe. So here's the deal. The fight cards, they kind of blow. One of the first main event ain't that bad. Remember Sam Eggington, the bloke who sent Paulie to hell?
Retired Paulie. I retired his girl.
And I listened to your album. He's going to take on Ted Cheeseman. Hell yeah. Sign me up for that.
I mean, you know that is going to be just the murder zone. I mean, those guys do not know the word defense. It will be fun. They have balls, too.
The other cards blow. All four are going to be on DAZN, except for that August 22nd card. It's decent. It'll be a pay-per-view on Sky Sports box office in England. It'll be a DAZN card. It's Dillian White against Alexander Povetkin. And Katie Taylor in the co-main was supposed to be Amanda Serrano. There's all this contract nonsense of, you know, whatever. It's probably going to be – it's not going to be Delphine
Persoon.
Yeah, that cop, that wild face first cop.
I already defunded her.
Yeah. Wow. So, Rafe, I'm into that. Obviously, I'm into that. Is that the best fight of the summer? True or false?
Povetkin and White?
Yes.
Well, now that Zepeda and Baranchik is off, it probably is. There's one other kind of sexy top rank thing I thought, but I can't remember anymore. But it is. It's the biggest fight. Let's just say it is.
That was
very Roy Jones of you.
You were like, yeah, it is. Rafe, we did not mention Miguel Burchell fall over the weekend, and people are saying he didn't look great on that top rank Saturday card from TV Azteca. I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch it. I don't put any stock. He was fighting another like 13 and 15 guy. These guys are just shaking off rust.
Corn.
It's nothing. It's necessary. It's part of the job. You know, they've been in quarantine. They probably haven't been training well. This was just a shake off rust, stay busy type thing. These are strange times. Whether he looked good or bad, that fight means nothing. I will evaluate him the next time he does a real defense of his belt.
He wants Oscar Valdez. Do you want
awesome that? Fight? Make that. They yes. can make that. Those guys don't get paid that much that they can't make that in quarantine. Please make that. It's an awesome fight.
A lot of people who have criticized rightfully Dana White not paying UFC fighters what they're earned have looked at the paydays from Tuesday night's Saucedo card. And Rave have noticed that Saucedo made $35,000. His opponent made $25,000. Given the times, and look, this is Top Rank Appreciation Hour, but maybe that was the first hour of the show. Given the times, is that okay? No live crowd? Are you okay with that?
Look, am I okay? Is it? Yes, I think I am okay with it. That only because in the economics of, like, in the world of boxing, Saucedo Fredrickson. Where would that show up? That would be like an untelevised pay-per-view. That's like that's like the last thing before the pay-per-view broadcast begins. It's a deep undercard fight that probably makes around that much money, or you know, like the price sounds basically in line with what they would have made any other, you know, in normal times. Now, I guess the argument would be, well, this is not they aren't fighting on unseen pay-per-view. They are on TV. They're on ESPN primetime, and they deserve, you know, and because these are the people whose work and sweat and toil and blood is going into providing this entertainment that ESPN so desperately needs. Maybe you could throw them a effing bone and give them a bump for doing this, risking their lives in the ring and risking their families' lives fighting in this fake ass bubble. Spreading viruses, you know, maybe they could get a little bit more, but if you're just looking at it as in very simple business terms, no, that's basically what they're worth.
Wow. Evan Korn, line one, not happy. Wow. Okay. Yeah. It was a love and tug of kindness.
I mean, look. I think they're working the bubble very responsibly, and that's good.
Yeah, they are.
At the same time, how much interstate travel of COVID positive people has already occurred thanks to this effort?
Yeah.
Once or twice a week. Now it's a drop in the bucket because the entire situation is, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of cases. So maybe it doesn't matter. And yeah, it doesn't matter because everybody got to get on with their lives. But it ain't like no doctor out there saying, yeah, you should do this.
Riff, I did want to shout out the DM slide that you hit me up on Instagram of Nico Macias' live story of him playing with a skunk in his house as if the skunk is a kitten. And it says on the bottom of the screen, I love this dude.
I'm saying this is an ongoing, this is like a soap opera.
Yeah, this is.
He found a baby skunk.
Wow.
And he's raising it. I don't know when. So eventually the skunk is going to turn on him. And I just hope he posts that video.
Yeah, this skunk is going to send him to hell. Do I have any skunk sounds on this board, Rafe? Do I?
At the end of
No. Maybe?
Yeah.
No. Okay, that was great. Lemur? All right, that's where we lost all the viewers. Rafe, let's put a ribbon on this show so you can get back with your life. Eric Gomez of Golden Boy says, Canelo will come back to end 2020, but it won't be most likely against a world champion given the economic. So what this means in real terms is Canelo has a guarantee, right? The $35 million. So in some ways, the quarantine doesn't necessarily affect him because DAZN owes him the money. He wants to stay busy. They need a fight worth watching. He's going to fight. But without a gate, they can't pay an opponent anything worth a crap. So it's going to be soft. Does this mean when they say, and if you read that story on Boxing Scene presented by Manouk
Akopian,
Manouk Akopian, love that guy, by the way. It says that Canelo prefers 68 for the next fight and that it won't be against a champ. So is this still Willie Monroe Jr., or does this open the door for a very handsome opponent?
What about this? Munguia!
No, you are next, my friend.
It'll be fun. He's not a champion. It'll be fun.
It's too good of a fight. They're not going to do that. Look, if it's Lemieux, I'm going to be honest here. He'll break Lemieux apart. But if it's Lemieux,
it's Kirkland too. It's Kirkland part two.
It is Kirkland part two. But that's so
that
much,
was fun.
That's so much better than a Willie Monroe Jr., who I know he's working. By the way, he's working with Pedro Diaz, the Cuban trainer, and I respect that. Look what he did to Miguel at 54. Right, made him defensive and all that. Yeah, I mean, look, you want a guy in there who at least has a shot at catching Canelo with something and making it interesting. But yeah, that's, I mean, what do we know? We're just the boxing media, Rafe. What do we know?
This is YouTube. This is not the mainstream boxing media, right? I don't have to watch my words for fear of the political fallout.
Yeah, take that, Top Rank. What do you got, Rafe?
Oh, I was going to say it's a fun fight. It's not an important competitive fight, but that's what we can't. Unfortunately, I don't think we're going to see a lot of that. I do hope that Teofimo Lopez and Vasily Lomachenko fight. That's the kind of great fight we will be very fortunate to see in these times. And
does that have to be a pay-per-view? It has to be, right?
I have no clue. It depends on how. I don't know. I don't know what how their budgets work. Does it have to be a pay-per-view? No. I think they may choose to make it a pay-per-view to squeeze some more money out of it, and that's probably the right thing to do. I mean, who cares about growing the sport right now?
Isn't it crazy that two of the things that we hate about the sport because they're in some ways anti-fan, which is bringing big fights to questionable countries who have a lot of money, and B, throwing fights on pay-per-view just because you can. Those are two things that we need right now in the quarantine, Rafe.
Yeah, it's pretty much the only way those big fights seem like they will get done. And there's probably not even enough pay-per-view money to make the hugest fights, which are the ones that we are likely to see going abroad to various places with spotty human rights records.
Bob Arum studied abroad, a few of them in the Philippines that time at the Grand Garden Hotel. We're going to close. Happy birthday, 54! To Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson, baby. Mike Tyson.
I like Mike Tyson.
Let's go.
I still got abs. I saw the pictures on Twitter. According to my MMA co-host, Sugar Rashad Evans, the UFC Hall of Famer, who is very good friends with Mike Tyson. In fact,
the weird hallucinogens and psychedelics with him and Cejudo?
That's how they became good friends. They do the toad. They do the MDM.
That's fascinating.
And they've both Mike Tyson and Rashad Evans have found healing through that from
everyone who I've never, I guess the people who have bad toad trips to probably turn into vegetables and never speak again. But everyone who comes back from the toad trip says it changed them in like profound ways. And
yeah,
I kind of believe
it's like a 10 minute trip.
Do you want to organize a bro trip and do some toads?
You, me, peyote, the desert.
I think we need Folo for that.
James Foley of badlefthook.com formerly.
I think he's got a hookup too.
The Folo punch, yeah, he probably does. That guy. Do you have anything nice to say about Mike Tyson, the impending comeback? Do you want to share your favorite Mike Tyson memory? Did you ever believe Mike Tyson would make it to 54?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I didn't think that he was not going to. I wasn't thinking that hard about it. I guess you could have said that at points in times of his life, but gee, that's a grim way to think.
You weren't involved in the Detloff Deadpool at some point,
I don't do the Deadpool.
Me neither.
I like the movie though. Great, Jim Carrey's first screen appearance, and Clint Eastwood doing his Dirty Harry act, which is so offensive now. It's pretty great. I don't know. Happy birthday, man. At 54. That's not a milestone number, but every number matters. Good
for
you.
It's not young.
Okay, take that money, player. Right there, Will out.
It's not young, but he's gonna come back. If I gave you access right now with one click on Days In to every Tyson fight, and you had a cold one, and you were sitting back on your own free time, which one would you watch first?
I guess Holyfield won.
Great fight. Great fight.
Not exactly Mike's, you know, like not exactly the Mike at his best, but that's is he in another great fight like that?
That's weird, because that is a great fight, and yet it's largely one-sided, but it's just a great fight. I am in love with the two Razor Ruddock fights. They're competitive. Yeah. They're back and forth. Like, yeah, the Showtime pay-per-views, I bought those on DVD many, many years ago. I would probably go to those first. I love me the first Holyfield fight. But, no, for a crazy career, Rafe, he doesn't have a lot of competitive back-and-forth fights. Look, you know what it is? Buster Douglas. At times, right? Douglas owned the early rounds with the jab and the 1-2, but Tyson made a comeback there and made that a fight. That's actually, it's a fight we only revisit for the upset and the historical purposes, but it's a fun ass fight on top of that.
Yeah, no, that is. It stinks. You want, I mean, that is the big mark against Mike Tyson's Hall of Fame career, is that he in a lot of those best fights, and in the ones where he was really in trouble, he didn't rise above it. And that could have been circumstance. It could have been, I hesitate to go the full Teddy Atlas, like, yes, we saw his character and there was none type, you know, thing. He seems like he's overcome quite a lot in life, if not in a couple of his biggest moments in the ring. But he doesn't, you know, all of his best fights are ones where he, you know, he gets upset, unfortunately.
Or he tries to break Franz Botha's arm, or, yeah, you know where I'm going with that. He's never won a fight in which he's gotten knocked down, all that. Hopefully the Toad, the MTM, I can't even say it right.
DMT, right?
It's like the same. You know, hopefully all that.
Look, we're square guys. We didn't even know what fish scale meant back when Angel Garcia first put that out. We talked about it on the Grantland podcast, and then felt like a couple of true dopes. It's cocaine, man.
Sorry, I didn't mess around with the Bugar Sugar in my drug product.
That's why you never got to hang out with the freaks.
Yep.
You're facing the real one.
This is what I asked for. This is what you're getting.
You're going to get this.
That's what I want, the real deal.
The raw dog. This is the real one.
I can't tell if that's a drug deal, if they're about to fight, or if they're about to bang. That's why I love that sound so much, Rafe. But just in case it was one of those three.
It's all about the lube, man. It's all about just getting back moving.
All right, thank you. By the way, I hope Keith, this is a closing comment here. I would really like society to get back to normal, get rid of this disease, this illness. I would really like B to make big time boxing fights, and C, Rafe, I don't want Keith Thurman to become Amir Khan. I want Keith Thurman, who, by the way, I say this and I mean this, I think the best performance of his career came against Pacquiao. I think he won the fight. It was a great fight. It was a really good fight, Rafe, okay? He was great against Porter and Garcia, too, but specifically against Porter. But I would like him to come back and be a thing. Could you imagine what the best version of him against Spence looks like? That's a great fight, Rafe, and you know it.
It is a great fight. It just seems, unfortunately, that Keith doesn't – that the best version of Keith Thurman may not come back because of the injuries and all the layoffs, but – I hope that's not true. I hope that he does at least look what I think a reasonable thing to hope for. Look, hope for more, but a reasonable thing, like where I would put my hopes, is Keith Thurman having one last great night. Either pushes someone like Spence or Terrence Crawford, if that were to happen, even though he's not a true welterweight, pushing them to the absolute brink in a losing effort, upsetting someone on that level. If we get one more glorious champion Keith Thurman night, and he hasn't, not that he's given us dozens of them, but to see him in peak form against the best of the best in a great fight once, I think I really do hope we get to see that, because I think he would impress us, even if he didn't win, if he lost to another great fighter, which is kind of what happened. I don't know if Keith Thurman himself is a great fighter, but another excellent world-class fighter. If he lost to another one of those guys, which is what we saw in Pacquiao, that's a great fight. That's a fun fight.
What the outcome is.
I'm pro boner. I did want to play you a song that Keith played at his wedding to his lovely wife. It's a song about love and happiness.
Funko Pat, my dear son, John Chu, Dean Cora, Mustang Grease,
Mustang Grease, baby.
Ding dong ding. I mean, look, he is in touch with the Eastern elements. I like that.
Later, but for your cat.
Oh, thank goodness.
What was that?
But I love YouTuber. Yoga. I love philosophy. I'm into world religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, original Christianity. So I'm just diverse, a little outside of the box thinking. I dropped out of high school, but that doesn't mean that you can't be self-educated in life.
Is that really you? Is that who you really are? Or is this an image you're putting out there? Because you know it's kind of attractive to be the alternative to a regular boxer.
Well, if I cared about my image, I'd probably have a million followers by now on Instagram, and I'm really not that kind of guy.
He's more into...
I guess is that throwing some subtle shade at Ryan Garcia?
Yeah, well, it's possible. It is possible. Rafe, that's the show for this week. I'm sure you have to go pee in a bottle somewhere. Thank you to Jose Zepeda, to Top Rank, for being who they are, to Evan Korn, a fantastic PR guy, facilitator, provider. Thank you, Rafe Bartholomew, for entertaining our people. I don't know how large our people are. But, well, you know, yeah. But
I've looked at a lot of guys.
Yes,
Brian.
Yes. But they're hard. Let me just tell you that much. Okay, they're, you know,
they're both great guys and hard men.
But thank you to all of our hard men out there. They have a stick. Thank you. Thank you for listening. Please hire Rafe. Right. No.
Sure, I'll take it. I'm
okay,
down.
Okay. Higher Rafe.
Thank you, Brian, and thanks to our listeners. We love you.
Yes, I see you running these streets. Do you have a closing message at all, Rafe?
I think maybe we out. Right?
All right. There are things that motivate us more than others in this world, but why don't we go out with just a little more, one more taste of Broner? Okay, let's hear "Spoil You" one more time.
I know we had a couple setbacks, but you stayed down, you're so loyal. Met you, now got moves.
What the bitches are we on? Yeah, stay loyal. Thank you to my listeners. Yeah, stay loyal.
You know where this is going.
We're not out.
Broner and Danny Garcia's sisters, the Cianci twins, are going to do a song together.
Oh, God. Where are you going with that?
It's just a collabo. It's just a song, all right? I'm not saying
allowed to even mention them on the air. How old are they?
I'm pro Broner and that.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay. The Cianci twins, they're talented girls, Rafe.
Look, they have millions of followers on Instagram too. They're more popular on Instagram than Danny Garcia, one who makes the money in the family.
No. Hey.
John, this is Danny's night. Hold on.
Thank you.
Yeah, actually, Jim Gray needs to go in there and write the situation in that family because that is an imbalance. I don't get it.
Well, Danny bangs.
This is all about Danny. He's had a big, busy year. He wants to go out on a bang.
Thank you. Okay. I got no more jokes, no more sound effects. I got two words. Okay?
We out.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.